Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I don't know about you. Are you excited today? Coming and learning and growing in grace and being reminded. Like my buddy, he likes my short jokes. Glad to see Bill and his wife in church today. Been praying for you guys. Today is December 6th, 2015. Got it this time. As you know, I'm not the pastor. He's got thicker hair than I do and a little bit taller. And you know I ain't Dave. So I'm Paul A. Bobek III for those. We welcome you in video and audio, and you all pretty much know me. And the message I'm going to do is in a series. I did basic training and rightly dividing one, basic training and rightly dividing two, and I'm going to do three and possibly maybe one more, and then I'm not going to wear it out. But I think it's very important. Sometimes people start coming to a Grace Church, and they hear about right division, they're getting little pieces, you know, sometimes. And I thought to really set it out there so you can see it and understand it and how important it is. And what I want to be very careful of is I don't recap everything I did. But maybe somebody wasn't here for session one and session two in basic training. So I'm just going to highlight real quick. I prayed about this because I can go over it, like the whole thing. It's real easy, right? The why we rightly divide, how we rightly divide, and the reason we rightly divide. One thing, why do we rightly divide the Word of God? Because God's Word tells us to, right? And 2 Timothy 2:15, it says what? Study. Study. A lot of believers do that, right? Study the Word. All right. Study to show thyself approved. Now, that's what everybody don't do. All study doesn't have God's approval. You can study the Bible back and forth. Atheists have done that and not understood it. And they still deny it, you know. But it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So there's a way, right, to study rightly dividing the Word of truth. So God says to do it. Well, of course, any believer wants to obey God. But then you're like, what is rightly dividing? You know, other people say, oh, them rightly dividers, they chop up the Word of God. No, rightly dividing, if we're going to look and do it, then how are we going to do it? And I went over this. Then go to the person who told us how to do it, right? Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to rightly divide it. So it only is common sense, right? I mean, a lot of Christians don't think. They're more all emotional and led by emotion. But God, there's a doctrine in thinking in God's Word. We're supposed to think. So Paul tells us how to rightly divide it. And I'm not going to even go there, I think. I'll just kind of give you the verses. And Ephesians chapter 2, I believe 12 and 13, it talks about in time past. So in the Bible, there's a time past. And then he says, but now. So you see a division? Time past, but now, and then he talks about things to come. Well, we're in the but now. Our instructions are in the but now. Our identity in Christ is in the but now. Justification is in the but now. You're not going to find it in the Old Testament. You're not going to find it in Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John, because that's Christ said. It says he came born of a woman, born under law. He said he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So he's teaching under law, and what the church doesn't see today, it's very important, that he had an earthly kingdom program, a long-awaited kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, thy kingdom come, right? Now, a kingdom needs what?
King.
We got some people awake, all right, Dave. I know, I never thought about it. I just thought Sunday school, you kind of get a pretty good. Everybody's fresh, you know. Then by the time the pastor gets there, you know. So you need a king. Well, God, there was a prophesied, it was known a Messiah's coming, a kingdom's coming, and you got a king, and it's gonna, and then they were gonna be a kingdom of priests, and what? Evangelize the world with this kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. That was known. John the Baptist comes on the scene and says what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. He ain't being offered. It's time. It's the time. The long awaited, right? Now, a remnant, if you want, believe that. But the religious hierarchy, that's why don't be surprised today when pastors and big shots, they deny rightly dividing the word and Paul's gospel, because they did it back then too. Jesus says, you nullify the word of God by your traditions. See? So anyway, Christ what? What did they have to do? Because what's the initiation rite of a priest? Water baptism, washings. They were going to be a kingdom of priests. So what's John the Baptist come? Repent to be baptized, right? What's Christ come? Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. He's verifying, you know, all the miracles ain't just there so everybody gets a healing. It's verifying Christ's messiahship and the message, right? Now, what do? They reject their king, right? Crucify him. What did Christ cry from the cross? Father, forgive them. Right? So the Father gives them an extension. 1 year extension. And I went into this. I got to get to what we're doing today. But in Luke, I think it's 13, it talks about a vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard, there was one vine, I guess. I'm paraphrasing this. That wasn't producing no fruit. And he said, cut it down. And then the one who took care of it said, no, give me 1 year. Let's cultivate it. And if no fruit, rip it up, right? From the stoning of Stephen, from the crucifixion of Christ to the stoning of Stephen was 1 year. The Holy Spirit was cultivating miracles, signs, and wonders for Israel. It wasn't the body of Christ. We don't go back to Pentecost. That wasn't something new. We'll see that, why it's so important to rightly divide the word when I start going to verses. But anyway, with that, God puts on hold, temporarily, that kingdom program. And he brings in something that was never known. God can keep a secret. Ain't it cool? Satan didn't know nothing about it. You know, we're here doing some spiritual warfare this morning. When you learn this word of God, and you learn to wield it, and you learn when Satan comes against you with air or going through things, you learn to pick the word up. You know, so God had a secret and that he knew in eternity past. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 3, right? But now. He was going to form the body of Christ, bring in the dispensation of grace. When did that start? With Paul. He said he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe would follow. It's not on Pentecost, the beginning of church. Paul is the first person in the body of Christ. That's when the dispensation of grace starts. There's we're in but now. So where do we find our instructions? Paul's epistles. Now what's the last thing? What ends our dispensation?
Rapture.
Got some people studying the word. Yes, the rapture. That blessed hope. But in the meantime, we got the sacred secret. I love it put like that. It's a sacred secret. And it's now it's revealed. It's unveiled through Paul to the body of Christ. And it's a shame most of the church don't know it. Ask your average Christian a couple questions. What's the mystery? Or one Bible teacher, supposedly, quote, Bible teacher, unquote, he said, rightly dividing the word, it's making sure you make the periods right. And it's like, that's good grammar. That ain't rightly dividing. Rightly dividing means slicing straightly. And that's the best way, I think. You can get into the dispensations, innocence, and it's good to know like that, innocence, then conscience and law, grace, you know, kingdom, things like that. But I think because if you say in time past it was always law, what about before the law? See, so you just go time past. God kept a secret that he only revealed to Paul. Now after the rapture, that prophetic clock will what? Bam! God turns it back on like a stopwatch. all of a sudden, it's going to go back to the kingdom program. And they can't go to Paul's instructions. They can learn from it, but that ain't for them. So they're going to need instructions, right?
Right.
What books are for that?
Hebrews.
Who's that to?
Hebrews.
Man, we got some smart people, or smart Alex in this church. Hebrews, James is written to who? The 12 scattered tribes of what? Israel. Peter says it's written about a kingdom of priests. Who did God promise that to? Israel. We are not a kingdom of priests. I'm too short to be a king. You know, maybe a priest. But we're not. But there is. And Revelation, John said, I was transported into the day of the Lord. That's not so. He didn't go and transported this Sunday. That's their program. At the end of the tribulation, Christ comes back as a man of war. And God right now is holding back his wrath, his long-suffering. Read Revelations 19:20. The winepress of God's wrath. Dispensation of grace is over. They're going to need some books to go through that tribulation period. They got their doctrine. We can't go there. We can learn from it, you know. But we're going to look now. go to Luke 9:1-6. So the reason we rightly divide is so we don't have a mixed gospel. And we get the gospel, the grace of God, clearly and share it clearly. And that includes salvation, because if you mix kingdom law with grace, if you mix James with Paul, you're going to come up with the mixed, confused gospel that Paul said ain't no gospel. It ain't good news. Gospel means good news, right? That ain't good news. Got to persevere till the end, right? Or you got to do works to prove you're saved. Today, works don't prove you're saved. Jehovah's Witnesses are out there working, knocking on doors. Anybody here been knocking on doors all week? So are they the saved ones? Today, you know how you prove you're a Christian? That you believe you're saved by grace through faith, not by works. Now, works have a place once you're a believer. It's God who works it then, but it's God who works in you. It's not you producing it, working it up in your own resources. That's walking in the flesh. It's as you depend upon Christ and learn the Word of God and take it and apply it to the details of our lives, you start learning to walk in the Spirit. So God, it's God who both works in you, both to will and to do. Does that mean He takes over your will? No, He works within your will and it gives you new desires. Grace makes you want to serve God, don't it? Or do you just want to go out and live like the devil today? I don't. You know, we all come up short every day, but that's why it's so important. I remember Dave saying, I'll listen to his CDs, and or if I'm, because we come far, so there's no excuses, but so I don't make Sunday school, but I'll listen to his CDs, and he was talking about, if you think God, when you're doing the right things, you go to Him more, that He hears your prayers more, then you ain't walking in grace. Because God loves you unconditionally. You got an identity in Christ that can't be shaken, that you can't change. But when you learn your identity, you start learning to walk in it. Walking in the Spirit, right? So Luke, I said 9:1-6. Now, is this time past but now, or things to come? How do you know when you're in time past? See if anybody listened last time. In Ephesians, Paul said, when you were without Christ, right? Talking about the Gentiles and that. And the middle wall of partition was up. What's the middle wall of partition? Who was listening last time? And law. Circumcision came first, right? Through Abraham. He separated them as people. And 430 years later, God solidified that wall between Jew and Gentile. So when you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or early Acts, is the law still in effect? Is there a difference between Jew and Gentile? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Even Peter, he's preaching to the Jews. There might have been a few proselytes, but that was still that program. In order to come to God, you had to come through Israel. You had to take the yoke of law. So anyway, let's look at this. This is part of the kingdom program. So Luke 9:1-6. Then he called his 12 disciples together. Did he call all the believers?
No.
See, you gotta ask who's speaking, who are they speaking to, what are they saying? You gotta look at words. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. See, we got power! Power to cast out them devils, right? Lay hands on the sick. That's being taught. 8 years I was going through that. He didn't give everybody that. This is part of the kingdom program. Signs and wonders to Israel and feasts and days. They're all a part of their program. And what are they preaching? And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Well, they're preaching the gospel of the earthly kingdom, aren't they?
Amen. Amen.
Now, they're preaching the gospel, but you know there's more than one gospel in the Bible?
Amen.
So context defines what gospel they're talking about, doesn't it? It's the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we're going to see in a minute, they weren't preaching the gospel of the grace of God that Paul preached, that Christ sent him out. Like, he sends them out with this? And them people should know they're sent by Christ because he gives them power, verifying signs and wonders. Today, we live by what?
Faith,
not sight. They live by sight. And he said unto them, take none for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, nor neither money, neither have two coats apiece. How many of the Word and Faith teachers today ain't going out with no cash? They got a big roll in their pocket. They got a rolled Dex. Like me, I got this from the thrift shop, right? They're in Italian suits and $500 shoes, you know? I go to discount shoe outlet. Yeah. You don't get rich preaching grace. But you're rich because you understand grace.
Amen.
And there's a richness in heaven when you get them, when Christ rewards us, whatever them rewards are. But there's positions of authority. And when we look then, like Paul says, you know, we're all going through things, right? And that's why it's so important to come and assemble together in a grace church. Because you need encouragement, right? But Paul said, what did he say? Light afflictions. When you're thinking of a heavenly perspective, our light afflictions. Everything you're going through, when you get there, you're going to go, it wasn't nothing compared to this. Heaven is so great, Paul said, it wasn't lawful for him to say what he heard there. I mean, you know, it's just going to be, I think, so awesome that words and things we can, I mean, God gives us pictures and, you know, of heaven, but I think it's so much you can't even describe the wonder. And we'll look back and say, the worst thing you're going through right now, you'll say nothing. And Christ rewards us for it. Because you know why? Everything you go through. Because God could just take us, right? In the rapture. But he leaves us here. Why? Not for you, for others. There's others that don't know Christ. Unsaved people. There's believers that don't understand grace, that feel condemned, that think they can lose their salvation, that don't know how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit today. I ain't talking about what evidence speaking in tongues. I had all that. I'm talking about empowered by God's love, walking in the Spirit, forgiving your enemies, reaching out, loving and boldness. They don't know. And because he leaves us here, we get rewards for that. Everything you go through. And you'll say like Paul, our light affliction, that exceeding weight of glory that will be revealed in us. But here, he said, don't take no money, don't even take two coats. And whatever house you enter, there abide and thence depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the dust, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, what? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So, if this, it's the gospel, right? We should be doing this, right? It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
But not every, this whole Bible's for us, but what? It's not all to us or about us. Context will tell you what's the message, what gospel it is. Go to Luke, I believe it's 18, 32 through 34. Let's see if they were preaching the gospel of God's grace. First of all, what's the gospel today of God's grace? 1 Corinthians 15, right? That Christ died, that you're saved by it, said in your stand, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again according to Scriptures. You trust, that's all. You trust Christ died for your sins. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I wish a lot of pastors would listen to that one. Quit boasting that without the evidence of works, you ain't even saved. Amen. So they must think they're working pretty good. They're saved, but not you. You know, self-righteous Pharisees. Anyway, Luke 18. So what's our gospel? That Christ died, He was buried, He rose. And we believe that, what? That He died for us, in our place, as us, right? The moment someone believes in that, they're saved. They don't got to walk an aisle. Sorry if anybody's a rug salesman. They don't got to walk an aisle. They don't got to raise their hands. You know, my buddy Frank, he just passed away, but he's funny. When I was in the Pentecostal church, he'd come once in a while, man. He said, the pastor trick saved me. You know, they say everybody bow their heads. And if anybody's a sinner and they need Christ, raise your hand. And then he says, you raise your hand because if you're honest, you know you sin. And then he says, they trick you. They get you. Everyone who raised their hand, come to the front. Well, he's seen you with your hand open. You know. So he said, trick saved me. Huh? I guess if you don't let the grace of God motivate you, you got to be tricky, right? Luke 18. How important it is to rightly divide the word.
Amen.
Let's start in verse 28. Then Peter said, lo, have we left all and followed thee? Because in that program, you had to sell all you had, give to the poor. Remember after Pentecost, they did that? They laid the money at the disciples' feet. They had to believe Christ was Messiah. They had to get water baptized. They had to do some things.
Yes, sir,
they did. And Peter says, first in verse 26, and they all heard it said, then he says, who then can be saved? You know, because Christ has given them law. Law just destroys you. It's supposed to. It's supposed to show you you're a sinner, but it can't save you. It's like a mirror that, you know what the law is used for today? For unsaved people. Not the righteous, Paul says. When they say, but I'm a good person, are you going to heaven? Oh yeah, I think so. Why? Well, I try and keep the Ten Commandments. Well, I got water baptized, you know, three times. You know, that got to get, you know, three times. Or I give I sing in the choir, or I give my tithes and some. And you say, whoa, that's what your denomination said. If you want to come by performance, God gave 10 things. Well, you got to keep it perfect. How you doing? You know, like when I told my mother-in-law, I said, I know what the Catholic Church, I'm trying not to be insulted, but what Rome teaches, she was raised Catholic, and I said, they teach you to be good and do all your things, you know, I said, but you know, in the law, James says, if you break the least one of these, you broke them all. And here's how a nice, moral person, she was the sweetest little lady, she goes, I know I deserve to be punished a little bit. See, the law, when it does its work, it shows you. It's not outward, it's inward. Have you ever coveted? Do you want to do something? And let me tell you something, I don't know if I should say from the pulpit. My mother-in-law, she's a cute little thing. She liked watching the football players with their, you know, tight pants. You know what I'm saying? Did you ever want? See, it's not just did you do it. Did you ever want to? So here, Peter said, we sold everything. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that's left his house or parents or brethren or wife or children for what? The kingdom of God's sake. So what program is this? The kingdom program. What gospel were they preaching? The kingdom gospel. The earthly, always remember that. Because Paul talks about the kingdom of God too, but he's talking about overall kingdom. So he's not talking about the earthly kingdom. Here they're preaching an earthly kingdom. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting? Then he took with him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon, and they shall scourge him, and they shall put him to death, and the third day shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. What's the gospel today? That Christ died, he was buried, and rose again. That's the good news. Then when you believe that, you're saved by grace through faith, it's a gift to God. They didn't understand none of that. And by this time, they had been preaching that gospel for over 2 years. Don't tell me they're preaching the gospel of the grace of God, or you don't care what this book says. You know what I'm saying? Sometime, Bob George used to give a good illustration. He said, in the Philippines, for my friends from the Philippines, the way they catch monkeys is they take a coconut and they put sweet beans in it, and they cut a little hole where they can get their hand like this into the hole, but they grab the nut, they can't get it out. Now, they could get away if they would just let go of the beans. But what happens? The morning, they come pick them up. They won't let go of the beans. That's with some believers. I'm speaking to a lot of people that might be watching through here that just happen to watch our video or audio. We won't let go of the things we've been taught that are wrong. We like feeling emotional. I like that. It's my special things. Speaking in tongues. I like babbling. Or I like the idea. I got power. Touch somebody. I like that I can walk the aisle and get what's slain in the spirit. Pop. Touch of God. But you go during the week and face things in life, that ain't busting a grape. It's a bunch of emotionalism. And I know, because I was in it 8 years. And I love my Pentecostal and charismatic. There's had many brothers and sisters. And I was saved. I was saved by a Pentecostal sharing with me. But I love them enough because I like to see them understand the grace of God, because until I understood that, how to rightly divide the word, law, grace, prophecy that was known, mystery that was hid, and understand justification. You won't find justification by faith in Christ's blood outside of Paul's epistles.
Amen.
You won't find complete forgiveness, not where you have redemption and forgiveness of sins, outside of Paul's epistles. You got forgiveness over and over and over. And see how the church brings that in today? So let's go. Psalms 51, 10 and 11. I mean, somebody tell me my hair was messed up.
No. Your hair messed up.
See, I got to fix mine. The pastor got all that hairspray or whatever he got on it. He says sometime when he listens to my tapes, certain things bust him up, so that should get to him. We miss you, Pastor. How about this one? I see it on Facebook all the time. Now, is this time past? But now, are things come? Time past. This is under law, David's writing, right? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me stop right there. Does God need to cleanse our hearts over and over and over?
No.
Or do you stand justified? Righteousified. I like that. I think we should keep saying it, and then they'll make it a word. Because it sounds right. What's justified mean? You know, God's justice is satisfied. But not only that, that's propitiation. Justified means God declares you righteous once for all. You don't need your heart cleansed over and over. He sees you as completely righteous. He sees you covered in the righteousness of Christ. Does Christ need to get cleansed over and over? See yourself as God sees you. And boy, does it bubble up a joy in you and a peace and a thanksgiving. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Can you lose the Holy Spirit?
No.
Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Trying to close out. So there will be a part 4. Right there. Ephesians 2, verse, I believe, 13, 14. Ephesians 1. This is to the body of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, under law, the Holy Spirit would come upon kings and anoint them and empower them. And when David had sinned, the Holy Spirit left him. And he had to need to get cleansed over and over and over. That's why they had the sacrificial system. But now, after the cross, what? He died for sin once. For how long?
For all.
For all. Once for how many sins?
All.
Are you sure?
All.
Yes.
Been studying your Bibles, ain't you? I like that. Here, this is under grace. That's what I'm talking about. If we don't rightly divide the word, we find ourselves losing our salvation. Do we think? And it's taught. And they scare them. If you don't pay your tithes this week, you're lying to God. He'll make you sick. He'll make your kids sick. Under grace, we're not under law. Tithes were under law. And even before law. But today, what's Paul tell us? Take within your means. And give with a cheerful heart. Offerings, not tithes. He don't give us a 10%. Because some can't afford a 10%. Some are so poor they need help. Yeah. Others might be able to give 80% and keep 20 and they're still rich.
Yeah.
See, so just because we're under grace don't mean, you know, and I can say that because I'm not on salary, so you know what I'm saying? But anyway, this is what I'm just saying. When you don't rightly divide, you get confused and you'll fall under error and you'll be controlled by legalism. Today, in the but now, in whom, in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So how do you get saved? Got to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, right? What you got to hear? Truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed. See, it's not just hearing. Christ did die for everyone, but they ain't saved until they believe. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. He's talking about the rapture. We don't pray, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, O Lord. We pray, thank you. Yes, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, which we should never. But it also grieves us when we do it. But we can't grieve Him enough to leave. Praise God for that, right? Don't it make you... If you got a great wife, guys, that make you want to just take advantage of her? Makes you want to love her, don't it? Makes you want to honor her, respect her. That's what grace does with us with God. It teaches us. Let me just do one more... I think this is an important one. James 2:24. And I love, this is where they get the teaching called Lordship Salvation. And I hear this on the radio, one of the biggest growing ministries. They teach this. And they use this verse. Let me ask you first, who's writing this? Who's he writing to in the first verse? To the 12 scattered tribes. Israel, the nation Israel. He ain't writing to the body of Christ. Remember in Galatians, when they saw the gospel that Paul was given to the uncircumcision as the gospel to the circumcision, see, two gospels, to the circumcision, was given to Peter, they shook the right hand. You go to the Gentiles. So if, and we'll go to the circumcised, right? So who is James writing to? The circumcised. Who's Paul writing to? The uncircumcised. And then today, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, so it's not only Jewish people can't be in the body of Christ. We're one. But they got to come the same way. By grace through faith. James says, you see then, how that by works, a man is justified not by faith only. Have you heard that? Mm-hmm. On the radio? You been in churches? If you ain't got works, you ain't saved. Works are evidence that you're saved. Lordship salvation. See how subtle Satan is? He takes the word of God and he says, boom. Just like he tried to twist it with Christ. You know? Well, God's word says this. Christ knew it in context. He took it out of context. The context of James is to the nation Israel. And this will be true during that tribulation period. If you look at about if somebody needs food and blah, blah, blah. Because remember, in the tribulation period, they can't buy or sell, right? We're not going to be there. Praise God. You know? So faith without works is dead. It won't be the dispensation of grace yet. Now, just go to Romans and I'll close out with that. Romans 3:24. So James is time past because he was writing to them 12 tribes then. But also, what was the next thing on their agenda? The tribulation period. In a prophetic known program, right? So he was preparing them for the tribulation. So who's he writing along with time past? Time future, right? For them saints, them Jewish saints in the tribulation period. But Romans, but in right now, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. What's freely mean? Dorian. That's a Greek word. You know what that means? Without a cause. What it says, they hated Christ Dorian. Without a cause. We are justified, declared righteous, without a cause in us. How then? By his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now just go to 4 and 5 over there, and that's it for today. Now to him, talking about the person, that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but a debt. See, when you think you're working for God and earning salvation, you think he owes you something. And if he gave us what he owed us, we'd all be dead. But to him that worketh not. James, can you hear Paul? Pastors, can you hear our apostle that Christ raised up? The mystery that's now revealed. And what's he say? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's two different messages. One, faith without works is dead. Here, it's all grace. Not by works. You're totally justified. How important is it to rightly divide the word? Even for us who've known it for years, I love reading other people. I just read a thing, The Dispensations, it's by some lady. It's a little small thing. She brought out some things I never thought about. I go, it is so cool when you understand God's word. Yes. Now you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and understand why is Christ teaching them what he's teaching. I didn't get to where he talked about persevering to the end, because you get that teaching too. Our Calvinist friends teach that, brothers and sisters. You'll get say and see. If you don't endure to the end, you lose your salvation. You know, the context of Matthew 24, the tribulation. Yes. When? Not, but now.
Ages to come.
Things to come. Grace, it's not you persevering, it's the Holy Spirit sealing, and he perseveres in us.
Come on, man.
And he produces. If you don't understand, let me just end with this. I ain't going no more verses. Only in Paul's epistles do you find out how to walk powerfully in the Holy Spirit. What it means to be truly Spirit-filled. Whatever you're in dependence on will control you. Be not drunk on wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What? You're dependent on wine or drugs or whatever it might be. It controls your whole life. As we depend on Christ in us. Like Paul said, it's no longer I who lives. I'm not trying in energy in my own flesh to live this Christian life, flesh it out. I'm committed to Christ and I'm going to live it. You know, pretty soon you're going to be... And then what? But see, in Paul's epistles, he tells us it's dependence on the Holy Spirit. It's applying it. It's studying the Word, rightly dividing it. Why we do that? So we can rightly understand it. Some people only get there. In the grace movement, they get a lot of knowledge. So we can rightly apply it. Amen. Apply it.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know for myself, Lord, and I know my brother and sisters, we're so thankful that through your word and through usually somebody pointing it out to us about rightly dividing your word and then helping us to see it. And then as we study it out for ourselves, Lord, what a rejoicing it does in our hearts, Lord. What a peace, what a joy to be able to truly understand your word, to know we can't lose our salvation, to know that we don't have to produce on our own. It's a fruit of your Spirit. And we just depend on you. And as we behold Christ, we become what we behold. More and more transformed into his likeness. And your grace teaches us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that even salvation, if we don't understand how to rightly divide the word and Paul's gospel that Christ gave to Paul, we won't know how to be saved. We have a mixed gospel. We'll become religious, but not no spiritual life. So I pray if there's anyone in the church today, some people have been brought up in church. Young people have never trusted in Christ. They know all the doctrines, but they've never trusted. And I pray through the audio or the video, Father, that if there's someone who's never trusted in Christ, that they would, as my old pastor used to say, put their deadly doing down to try and earn salvation. And they'll just look at, as Paul said, he painted a portrait of Christ crucified. And they would believe he died for them. And everything needed for their salvation, he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. I pray, Father, that whether they're in another country, even that they'll come to that trust in your Son. And then I pray for believers, Father, that we just grow in your grace and help us to more and more understand how to rightly divide your word so we can rightly apply it, God, and we can rightly share it accurately and clearly. So we just thank you for anything that was done here today, Lord. We give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.